Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
This Hurricane Rita, we'll be talking with Dr. Jeff Dowder about Hurricane Rita. And right now it is a Category 5. It's big, it's hot, it's heavy, it's on its way. And it's motoring on its way up there to Galveston and the surrounding areas, Houston. Now, of course, when you look at it, you see a hurricane. And you also say to yourself, all right, people should evacuate. And that is the, believe it or not, the decision of the mayor and the governor and the local civic authorities. Now, when it hits, because you're not really talking about a city that is below sea level like New Orleans, it's really just a matter of preparation. For instance, I'll give you an example. You know how they talk about the San Francisco earthquake was so devastating? The thing that was devastating about the San Francisco earthquake was the fire, not the earthquake. The earthquake caused things to happen that could have been prevented, but at the time, what did we know about gas mains and firefighting, right? When did the San Francisco quake hit? 1906? All right. Now, who was president? Taft or somebody? I didn't hear anybody wanting to roast Taft's fat ass because of the San Francisco earthquake. You know how many people died in that?
Hey, wait a minute, man. Why didn't you get federal?
Well, we didn't have the laws in place at the time. Well, why not? All right. Now, this isn't going to be like New Orleans. The hurricane is bad, but it's not going to be a devastating event. It won't be a cataclysm like what visited New Orleans, because what happened in New Orleans, like, you know, in San Francisco, it wasn't so much the hurricane. It was the levee breaking. It was the water flooding. And in Houston, even though they've got a breakwater there at Galveston, I think that's like 5 feet high or whatever, and the waves are like 20 feet high, yeah, you're going to have some evacuation off of the coast, man. I mean, that's what happens in Florida. That's what happens when I lived in Fort Lauderdale in Miami back in the 90s, and every time there was a hurricane, and it was every summer, you know, I'm trying to get back to my apartment. I lived on the beach. And I go over the Intercoastal Canal, and there's a Fort Lauderdale cop.
You're going to have to turn it back, sir.
Well, I live here.
Well, all right. Go ahead.
I mean, basically what they were trying to do is get all the old folks out of there. And any idiot like me, I went in there to get stuff. I remember I went in and got some stuff that I felt was very vital. I got my passport, my toothbrush. Are you going, teddy bear?
What?
I got something else.
What'd you say?
I got my teddy bear.
What a queer.
Well, some guys need stuff like that.
Jesus.
Anyway, I got that stuff and I split and it turned out. But there, last time I checked, Miami all the way north, there ain't no breakwater there, man. It's called beach. As in sand, as in flat, as in high. My apartment's only 20 feet from the water. How's by you? They get some big freaking tsunami hitting Miami Beach, Jack. And goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, man. Goodbye, News Cafe, Wet Willies. All you cats at the Clevelander, nice knowing you. And all you nude German sunbathing tourists, adios, you're a ghost. Talk about freaking a dyke. The only dyke in Miami Beach, man, is serving up the drinks at the Clevelander. When she's not dancing down the street at China Jones's, that is. So anyway, that's kind of a heavy thing, man. So, but what's going to happen, I'll tell you, right, I'm going to predict what's going to happen in Texas. Now that everybody is forewarned and everyone sees, wow, we got to take this stuff seriously, as local officials, we can't sit around with our thumbs jammed deep into the recesses of our minds and be scratching our butts all at the same time. And then when it hits and everything gets destroyed, we immediately get on TV and dabbing our eyes of moisture and with our arms wrapped around a small child for the public relations effect, blame Washington. Or if you're the governor of the state, stand there in like a baseball cap and a sweatshirt like you were just out, you know, out with the crew. And in front of a bank of microphones, plead with the government when in point of fact what you're saying is, please vote for me. The election's coming up in a year and a half. What'll happen in Texas is this. There's now a mandatory evacuation. The emergency services of the state and the city and all of the cities involved have been marshaled. They're taking it seriously. And there's another thing, too. Louisiana politics? You got to be putting me on, man. Everybody that looked at everyone that looked at Louisiana and Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and said, my goodness, how can that happen? You don't know anything about how things get done in Louisiana, baby. You don't know nothing about Louisiana policy. It ain't about getting anything done down there, man. It's about, yeah, I'll tell you about getting it done, as in how many bills can you stuff in that bag? That's how they get it done down there. Now, you may not like it, and you may not think it's the way to go, and I'm sure things are going to change, but that's the way it's been for decades. Decades, man. So that's what's happening in Texas, and it looks like it's going to be a beautiful thing. I think everything's going to be good. Everybody get evacuated. I'm not saying there won't be any fatalities. Cops will do their job. Politicians will do their job. FEMA will get its act together. You know, it's a funny thing about life. Sometimes you aren't born with brilliance. Sometimes you have to experience things to learn how to do it better the next time. I don't know why that is. Do you? How come we can't just come popping right out of the womb wearing spats, spinning a parasol over our head, and doing a soft shoe? Why can't we, when we're born, just come out spouting Shakespeare and Einstein? Why isn't, you know, what, you mean I actually have to learn that stuff? Well, that's called life. You get up against a problem, you screw up, you pick yourself up, blow your nose, wipe the blood from your face, and move on, man. And so, unfortunately, in New Orleans, you know, they had to learn it the hard way. Maybe things will change down in that town now. I don't know. If things change in New Orleans, it may be for the better, but I guarantee it won't be as much fun to go there anymore. Won't be any drinking and walking with a drink. Won't be any drinking and driving. Everybody will want to muck around down there, say, this is wrong and that's wrong. They're just showing again the video of that pilot that brought in that jet there at, forget where that was. It was at LAX, as a matter of fact. And it was an amazing, amazing thing. Herb Sewell is hanging on the line with us right now. I don't know what it is that he wants to discuss concerning that, but it is it's quite a piece of videotape to look at. And for anybody, if you got the opportunity to take a look at it, man, you should, because it's crazy. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry's show here. So let me get Herb on the line. Is he there?
He hung up.
Why?
Because he was bored.
Oh, he was bored, huh? Didn't want to listen to what I had to say?
Well, I had him on hold and he had to listen to you. Here, I got him back.
You hung up because you were bored?
I'm sorry, Phil.
You hung up because you were bored?
Well, I didn't want to listen to you go on and on about, you know, your politics. But, look, I...
Well, I'm real sorry to say, it's not politics, man. It's just the way things are.
Well, look, I want to talk to you. Yeah, sure. I want to talk...
Well, don't blow it off, man. I'm, you know...
Look, you got your feelings hurt. I'm sorry. You're fascinating, Phil. Can I go and do what I want to do now?
Go ahead.
Bud, you better get Phil his teddy bear.
Yeah, I'll do that, Mr. Sewell.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Phil, I wanted to come on your program to make public and to make official an offer that I'm going to be tendering to the gentleman that piloted the JetBlue aircraft brilliantly in the Los Angeles International Airport. Ha, 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 you know. And I want you to know that the offer that I'm tendering is to host a reality television show. And this is an idea that I've just now had. Now, as soon as I can make contact with him...
Wait a minute. Are you going to talk to who?
The gentleman that piloted the JetBlue aircraft. You know the story about the JetBlue?
Yeah, the aircraft that came at LAX, yes. You're going to do what?
I'm going to offer the gentleman to host a reality television program. And that is going to be a brilliant, brilliant thing. And I'm saying it publicly now because I don't want anyone else that offers him anything. I've copyrighted the idea, and this is my idea. And I will also say that I'm very keen on this idea. And I also would say, and it's been a long time since I've stooped to this, but I would remind anyone listening that I spent 8 years incarcerated for crimes that would make a grown man vomit. You know, and so...
Why are you saying that? I mean...
I want people to know how serious I am about this. I don't want anyone trying to intrude or infringe or becoming hegemonist, shall we say, you know, with their idea. This is my idea. And
all right, look, so you're going to offer the pilot a JetBlue... Why?
Why? Because the man is an absolute hero. You know, you read the newspapers, Phil? Jesus, the man just brought in a jet. People will be talking about this man for weeks. And
well, okay. You don't even know this guy's name, and you're already offering him a job. I mean, how do you know the guy even wants to be on television? How do you know even who he is?
I don't care who he is. what I saw on television tonight, the way that man brought that craft in was absolutely brilliant, you know, and I am going to offer him a production deal where he hosts his own reality program. Excuse me. Now,
what makes? Thank you for the belch.
I'm sorry, but I had some chicken fried rice earlier.
What makes you think, that's nice, Herb, what makes you think the guy is going to want, people are going to want to watch this, number one.
Why are people going to, well, Phil, the man is a hero.
I know he's a hero, and I will say, I'm second to none in saying I admire.
People want heroes right now, Phil. People want to see real live heroes, not these play actors, not individuals who are pretending. We want to see real people. And so my feeling is, decide this back. Now, I'm on your program for one reason. No. Because I want people to know this is my idea. If there's anybody in the television business that thinks they're going to usurp me or otherwise try to get this band under contract before I do, I've copyrighted this idea by publishing it live on your program. That's number one. And number two, more to the point, I feel so strongly, as I said, I will remind everyone once again that I've been incarcerated for crimes against children and women that are, you know, if I was a member of the Milosevic's regime, you know, I'd be in front of The Hague right now with my head in the noose.
All right, so what is that, a threat of some kind?
I will tell you right now, the way I'm feeling, yes. Now,
you told me once you never committed murder.
I have never, but Walter Belhaven has. You know.
Are you telling me you're going to sick Walter Belhaven on any TV executive that tries to put this JetBlue pilot under contract before you do?
Bingo. Give the man a cigar.
Well, you've just published a threat, a terrorist threat. Walter Belhaven is an incarcerated inmate in the California penal system, and so you've put both of you guys...
You've put in nice English there, bozo. Way to go, man. Hey, look at Phil.
No. You have put both of you guys in jeopardy, all right?
I'm telling you right now. First of all, no crime has been committed.
You've published a terrorist threat.
Against who?
Against the people...
I haven't threatened anyone individually. You see, I've stood in front of more judges than you have, Phil. Believe me. So I know the law. I'm telling anyone out there who's going to usurp the idea of signing this JetBlue pilot to a contract that if you so much as try to infringe upon what I consider to be my legal domain... Walter Belhaven answers the day phone there. So, when I...
He probably means it. So what's he going to do? Have the JetBlue pilot host a daytime TV show, and if anybody takes the pilot and puts him under contract, Walter Belhaven gets out? What is it with Sewell and Belhaven? Has Belhaven become the Frankenstein monster? Go kill. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight, Dr. Jeff Dowder on The Phil Hendry Show talks about Hurricane Rita. And we'll also be discussing a little bit later on in the program with Pastor William Renick. Pornography, FHM magazine, Maxim, they are not pornographic magazines, but are they worse? Pastor William Renick will be joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, I've got just a thought or two. Well, I don't know if I should talk about it. I don't even want to mention it right now, so I tell you what I'll do is I'll just tell you later. Hey, Pastor Renick, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing all right. It sounds like you're confused tonight, though. I listened to what you just said.
Well, I had something I wanted to say, and I didn't want to say it, and I don't want to say what it's about. Isn't that stupid?
No, it's not, Phil. I'll tell you something there. A lot of things I'd say about your program, stupid and not one of them. I think you're a very entertaining young man.
Well, thank you. Pastor William Renick joins us. I know that you and Ms. Claire are on your way to Lake Arrowhead, right?
We do. We've got a cabin up there. We're going to just spend a little bit of time up there. I'm going to be preparing some of my homilies for the next few Sundays. I'd like to prepare, and sometimes it's good to be up there.
Now, you have been very outspoken lately with regard to pornography. Not pornography as we know it, as in, like, Penthouse or any of these other magazines, but FHM and Maxim. Can you tell me the difference? Tell our audience the difference.
I feel that the difference between FHM and Maxim and Penthouse and Playboy is that FHM and Maxim magazines, these are magazines that, you know, they don't have the woman naked. You know, they don't have her fully nude.
Right.
But what FHM and Maxim does
you talking to? I'm on the radio right now. Hold on.
Is that your wife?
Yeah. To get some peanuts out of the machine or something.
Where are you?
I'm at the bus station.
Whoa, isn't that a little cheap of you, man?
Yeah, all right, I'm cheap. You know, let me tell you, I don't put all my money in the, I don't get a stretch limousine, take me to Lake Arrowhead.
And you don't have the car?
I've got my car in the shop. The bus is fine. I don't know where the peanuts are. We'll get one of them grape drinks. Now, Phil, FHM and Maxim are two magazines that don't show you everything. They got women. I took a look at the magazine. They got a Jamie Presley. Or they got some, that little chick, what's her name, Bonnie Burke. And what that magazine does is it tempts a man.
Well,
it tempts him. And I would much rather have Penthouse or Playboy being sold to third graders than to have to be put through the torment and temptation.
Yeah.
Of FHM or Maxim.
All right.
Now, I bought a copy of that magazine the other day. Now, I opened it up. And I'm looking at a picture there of a woman. And a lady's name is Jennifer Love Hewitt. You ever seen this Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Very lovely lady.
Lovely? Holy gee. They had her in a bustier. And I said to myself, see, now that's dirty pool right there. Because I'd much rather see her nude, because then I know what I'm dealing with, than to have to be put through the sexual tension that is only begotten of the devil by FHM and Maxim giving me a peekaboo, but not rolling out the dessert tray. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. But as a preacher, should you even be or counseling anybody to be looking at those magazines?
I'm just saying to you, Phil, those magazines are on a down a newsstand. And the pitch is this. Well, you know, we got more class than Playboy. We got more class than Penthouse. We don't show it all.
Well,
you ain't getting nowhere anymore to do here.
Right.
What you're gonna get? You're gonna get Jamie Presley and one butt cheek. And I can tell you, Phil, to me, I think it's best expressed in song.
Sorry. 1-800-449-8686. He's ruptured again. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Turn it off, dude. Anyway, I want to make an announcement. Coming up, we'll have Dr. Jeff Dotter, who will be, yes, he is a doctor of mechanical physics. Not so you'd notice. He'll be talking about Hurricane Katrina. Now, I want to talk about you people out there that are passive-aggressive. We understand you're angry. We get it. I know you're not talking to me because you forgot. I know you're not talking to me because you're mad at me. Honey. Snookums. Yeah, the whole passive-aggressive thing is difficult for a guy like me to deal with because I say how I feel, much to my embarrassment and chagrin often. And I'm not saying that I'm inappropriate. I don't walk into a room of people, and if it's, let's say, it's a funeral parlor, and there's a guy laying in a box at the end, and I come roaring in there and going, you know, whoever's double-parked out here. I mean, I know how to pick and choose my spots, but I do tell people how I feel. Now, by the way, as I speak, they are showing people getting off of the JetBlue in good shape, as far as I know. But I'd hate to speak too soon because who knows? Investigations may show that Bush was out there and he screwed around with the landing gear. Anyway, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking this whole passive-aggressive thing. Now, when you don't talk to somebody for 2 days and they call you up and say, how come you didn't call me? And you say, oh, I'm sorry, I got busy. Yeah, you think we're buying that? We're not. Yeah, the day has come. Finally, the veil has been lifted. The scales have fallen from my eyes. We're not buying that act no more. Anybody says to me, oh, I didn't call you because, you know, I got so busy. Bull crap. You didn't call me because you're mad at me. You're mad at me And for instance, here's what happens, generally. Why? Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Good. God, I called you all afternoon. I didn't call you back. You usually like me to call. You usually call back. You know, I was busy. I was doing errands. And you're angry about something. So what is it? No, I'm not. I'm not angry about anything. Yes, you are. I mean, every time I don't call you back, and I called you back three times today, you didn't call me. You didn't call me, and you've said to me that it upsets you if I don't call you, and I called you three times. No, I just know you're busy. No, it's not about me. I'm not busy. Oh, you're trying to start an argument? Oh, here we go. You didn't call me today because you're mad at me over the fact that I didn't call you at a certain period of specified time that I got a guess at. It's some, I don't know, magical time, you know, where you just check in. Now, that's all. Those are all things that you can discuss. But I'm just putting all the passive aggressive people. You know what passive aggressive is, don't you? Passive aggressive is somebody.
No, I don't.
I'm not talking to you.
That's passive aggressive. See, you're not talking to me.
Would you just shut up and let me finish this thing? Passive aggressive is people that express their anger by not expressing anything. Stone cold silence. Like, for instance, if you're in an argument and you realize you've just said something stupid and you want them to respond to kind of get you back on even ground and they just stare at you.
Well, are you going to say anything?
No.
Why not?
I don't have anything to say.
Where are you going?
I'm leaving the room.
Well, what do you mean? We haven't even finished arguing.
I'm not talking about that necessarily, as in just the normal stuff. But it's, you know, I don't like it, man. And I'm telling you right now, I think it needs to be said on behalf of everybody out there that doesn't like it. We're telling all you passive aggressive people, give it up, baby. I know what's going on. You're mad. You're mad. And I don't care if you're standing there at the sink washing the dishes and you're just, you know, when he comes up and gives you a kiss from behind and you just keep on washing the dishes. And what, are you mad about something? No, honey, I'm just trying to get these dishes done. Yeah, you're right. You're pissed off about something. We don't know what it is. That's the next thing we got to figure out. I guess I got to hire Nostradamus or somebody, you know, go down and get that Miss Cleo or someone to try to figure out why you're mad today. Like 16 emails, 14 phone calls. Hey, how come you didn't call me? You know, I really got running today, and I didn't have a chance. Well, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm fine. Well, you know, honey, I'm going to bed, and... Well, I mean, are you mad about something? No, not at all. What makes you think that? Well, we know now. And I just want you to know something. We're not going to do anything about it, but being quiet, when you're quiet, we know. I just want you to know. I want that to kind of stick in you. You're quiet, and that means you're mad. No, I'm not mad. I don't know why you're saying I'm mad. I'm not mad. No, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. All right, I'm not going to say anything. I know you're mad, but I'm not mad about anything. You know, you keep on this mad thing. The only reason why I'm not saying anything is because I cut the, you know, the slut's pictures in your... Aha! Well, why do you still have those photographs anyway? I didn't even know they were in the boxes. Bull crap. That's another one, guys. When she finds the pictures of your girlfriend... She's in a dog collar. You know the ones. Don't even try to tell her you didn't know they were in the box. Not only did you know they were in the box, but you have, you know, you check to see that they're still there every day. You pull them out on occasion. You should try to lay that one on your wife. I found a videotape. Yeah. And she was black, which, of course, I'm not racist. But... Why do you still... Honey, I had no idea it was still there. I thought I'd burned that years ago. I mean, you can see all the stuff that I have. Well, why is it there? Now, see, women, they know where everything is, man. You're going to tell them that you forgot it was... They know every freaking thing, every receipt, every picture of every baby, every little bronzed booty. They know that's cataloged mentally. Look at all the things that I have. You just took the video and then you just threw it into a box and you never watched it again, right? It's, exactly. Just happened to be just thrown into that box. Whereas the truth is, okay, where are those videotapes of Diane? All right, that's in the top drawer of the left. And if she's home today, I'll have to move those to the top. You've got the pictures. Are like, okay, I got those in that far corner box in the garage. They're underneath the tax returns. Okay, now, if she leaves with the kids for the weekend, I can go to the ones underneath the tax returns. I'll bust out that 8mm that I got of that Oriental chick. And then it's party time. No. Don't even go there. Do yourself a big favor, because I got hit with it one night. I was cleaning your stuff out in the garage. Yeah. And I found the most disgusting photographs, which disgusting means it's somebody other than her. You know, it, the way they say it to you, it might as well be you with children, you know, photographs of infants or something, the way they say it. You'd never know it's a full grown woman who was, it was consensual. And not only that, you know, it was hell, you know, nothing wrong. It wasn't illegal, but it isn't her. So therefore, any picture of any woman other than her, thoroughly disgusted. How could you? I mean, come on. Yeah. What did you do with them? I tore them up and threw them away. You'll never see them again. And at that point, you're kind of happy that you're getting away that easy. But anyway, don't try to sell that. You ain't going to sell it. Oh, I didn't know they were there. I thought I got rid of them years ago. There isn't a day that goes by that you don't make a mental note of where they are, just in case of fire, flooding, or your wife. The three natural disasters. I'm kidding about the wife being a natural disaster. I think she could be abnormal. No. No, it's kind of a Henny Youngman thing, isn't it? The three natural disasters are flooding, fire, and hurricane and tornado. Those are four. Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. We have Dr. Jeff Dowder coming up, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jeff Dowder is coming up on Hurricane Rita here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, and our email is phs@philhendryshow.com. I said we'd read some email tonight, but I just don't have the bloody time to go into all of that right now. And there is quite a few. By the way, the guy Tony in the state of Maine, thank you, Tony, for getting me the IP address of that scumbag. I mean that certain person. You see, I got a little thing. It's maybe I'm crazy, but when it comes to my family, nobody's anonymous. You know, when you lay a threat against my family, I don't care if it's on the blog, I don't care if it's on my website, I do not stop until I find out who you are. And the guy that did that on my blog like 2 months ago, and you thought that I was going to blow it off, dude, even as we speak, I am on your trail. And I got it narrowed down to Cal State Fullerton and the Cal State University network. And I got a whole other number, a bunch of numbers on this guy. I'm not just talking about an IP address. That's easy to get. I got all kind of things. I'm narrowing it down to the computer the guy used. And this was 2 months ago. See, maybe I'm childish, but and I know 90% of the time, 99% of the time, people don't follow through on those kinds of things. But I don't take them lightly. I just don't. I think that they are serious enough to pursue me. I don't care. You involve my family. Now you've done something that, and I'm not saying that I'm the original 900-pound gorilla. I'm talking like a father. Any father would talk this way. So now I got everybody on it, man. I got listeners that are helping me with this. I got the guy, I got all of the different usernames this guy has. I got the different computers this guy's been on. And as soon as I find out exactly who the person is, then I'm going to make my move. Oh, yeah. Fire. I'm kidding. All right. Just a reminder, our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Thank you for the nice response on our webcast. Glad you enjoyed it. At our web address, by the way, you can find out all kinds of neat things about the Phil Hendry Show. If you don't know what our show's about, believe me, you know, you're going to have to listen for at least 2 weeks, probably longer, to figure it out. I don't care how much talk radio you listen to. Doesn't matter to me. Couple weeks, you know, I would say 2 weeks minimum. Some people are smarter, but I would just give a medium time 2 weeks. But if you go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com. You can read all about the show. We have our show log. We have the Bobby Dooley blog, which, by the way, somebody ought to replace that. That's like really old. That's from September 8th. We have our DVD pick of the week, Chris Norton's Babe of the Week. This week, T-Boz. Oh, yeah. Jeez, I slipped to my knees. Anyway, you know, I met T-Boz. I know she's getting up in years now, but she's hot. I mean, I think she's beautiful, and I don't care if she bleaches her hair. Doesn't matter to me. And she ain't that Lisa. Is Lisa dead? Lisa Left Eye? Really? Oh, I shouldn't. Who's the other one? Chili Boz or whatever the hell? Name yourself after a freaking dish like that.
My name's Chili.
Okay.
She looks like a bulldog. Ruff, ruff.
Who does?
T-Buzz.
A bulldog? You know, Dickman, I'm glad I'm not you, man. That's all I got to say. Your appreciation for women, you know, it just starts and stops at the 7-Eleven. Whatever's working the counter.
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, nothing, man, if you like them with no teeth. If you like them about 35 with a mullet and no teeth. They're right up Dickman's alley, if you'll pardon the expression, up Dickman's alley.
Hey, Phil.
Ow! Jag. You can also check out the archives, all kinds of comedy that's archived there as well, and our souvenir shop. Get a backstage pass gives you access to all of that. And all the new news, all the latest stuff that's happening on the Phil Hendry Show, you're updated on each and every day. We've got a scrapbook full of interesting photos that our listeners send us. We have Phil's cam, pictures that I take, you know, of the family. I've got another one that I'm going to be putting up tomorrow. We would have had it up today, but the scanner in Doug's office is broken. And when we tried to get somebody to fix it, well, gee whiz, there wasn't anybody around. They're all leaving early for some kind of freaky ass holiday.
Jewish?
I don't know if it's a Jewish holiday or not. But anyway, go to www.philhendryshow.com. For all the latest.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And good evening. Welcome to Love Songs with me, Chris Puté. Tonight on Love Songs, we'll take your phone calls and we'll dedicate a song to the loved one of your choice. It's my way, Chris Puté's way of saying, we love you. And you're on our mind, too. Give us a call tonight. And you can also email your dedication here to Chris Puté's Love Songs. In care of this station. We'd be happy to hear from you. And now we'll go to our Love Song dedication line. And on the phone with us right now is Roy. And Roy's calling us from Houston. Roy, how are you tonight? Welcome to Chris Puté's Love Songs.
Good evening, Chris.
Good evening to you, Roy.
Chris, I'd like to dedicate a song to my wife, Bonnie. Bonnie is turning 31 today, and we met 5 years ago when we were both at dental assistants at the United States Army base at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I love her very much, and she's been a great mother to our children.
That's great.
Also, I want to say that I'm very sorry for many of the things that I've done to possibly hurt her, and I just want her to know that no matter what happens, it doesn't matter anything that happens, I'll always love her, and I'll always respect her, and I'll always want her to be my wife as well as me to be her husband, too.
That's really, really nice, Roy.
And another thing, Chris, I just wanted to mention is we really appreciate everything that you do on the Love Songs dedication show. It really raises the spirits of people when they need it. And also it helps people, I think, get through the lonely times, too. Because if you're with someone, sometimes it's hard. But even if you're not with someone, sometimes it's also hard.
That's very, very well said, Roy.
And so I just want to thank you for that. And, again, I want to dedicate this song to my wife, Bonnie. She turns 31, and I just love you, honey, and you're a great mother, and you'll always be a great wife. Thank you, honey, very much.
Okay. Well, Roy, we're going to play that one for you. And the song is How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees. This is for Bonnie, Roy's wife. He loves you very much. Well, that's all the time we have here on Love Songs. Goodbye.
Chris, that's dirty pool, man. I've always admired your program, you turd.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.